With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City, oh, they just got a win. David De Gea made another error, and Brighton is still not safe. Lovely to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marcus Speller, Luke Moore, Pete Donaldson. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
You're back, Jim. You sound good as well.
Thanks.
I got bronchitis.
There we go. If anyone else is missing in the next few weeks because they have bronchitis, I apologise in advance.
Yeah, Jim was given the big one saying that it could not be caught by any other human person earlier on.
Was I saying that?
You were a few weeks ago. Now we find out it's bronchitis, and I'm fairly certain you can catch that, can't you?
Yeah, or maybe. Yeah. I've done a Jim Lawrence there.
The good thing about it is if whatever illness any one of us have got, being enclosed in an airtight room within 3 metres of each other for 2 hours twice a week is definitely not going to breed it.
It's at the business end of the season. It's the Spurs dodgy lasagna.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
injuries and suspensions are catching up with us.
My business end wasn't too
clever
wasn't too
after
good
some
this
seafood
morning.
Yesterday, yeah.
Luke
yeah.
and I were straight off the plane from Lisbon. And Pete did come as well. He just went back a day early. Jim, I'm afraid, was waylaid, ladies and gentlemen. There is no beef within the camp.
So Jim must have seen all the football then?
Yes, he must have done. So we'll go straight to you. But yes, I feel a little delicate, so go easy on me today, ladies and gentlemen. But we did meet a few of you at Lisbon. It was absolutely lovely. But anyway, enough of that crap. Let's go to the Premier League. Manchester City were on the right side of the goal line technology in all senses, weren't they? The tightest of margins, this league title.
Absolutely.
It doesn't get much tighter than that.
There are thicker smartphones.
Yeah, there are, definitely. Marcus, if you've got a much better memory for this kind of stuff than me, but was there not a very, very tight goal line technology decision in the Man City-Liverpool game as well?
When?
a ball just either did or didn't go over the line, or have I made that up? I'm pretty sure something to do with John Stones, maybe.
Yeah. Rings a bell.
It's a long season. Can't remember.
Yeah. Luis Garcia scored the only goal.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the tightest of tight margins.
Ridiculous.
And also a rare outing for. The thing is, it's not a rare outing, but to me, it feels like it is. Referee Paul Tierney.
Yeah. Yeah.
23 Premier League games
like
this season.
Like a substitute referee.
Yeah.
Has he been naughty? Has he
just sort of forget he's there?
He's done 23 games, but I'm not sure if anyone could pick him up out of a lineup.
I see his name pop up every now and then.
A Fraser Campbell type. Like seeing him come off the bench for someone and go, oh, yeah.
He's still around. Does that not say that he's a good referee?
I guess so, yeah.
No, if he's the Fraser Campbell of referees.
Not noticing a referee is a good thing, isn't it?
See what you mean.
It's like not noticing a defender or something. He just gets
Mike,
on with it.
Who would you compare Mike Dean to a footballer's career?
Joey
Barton. You always know when he's on the battlefield.
Probably Kanye West.
just to avoid all the correspondence we will undoubtedly get,
yeah.
Liverpool were apparently 11 millimetres away from scoring against Man City
January. Right. That's right.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, right. I think it's real testament to Burnley, isn't it, and how good they are at digging in. It took that from City. They really had to force the issue, because the thing with City, we said it before, they are so good at those sort of like sustained attacks. Like if they get into your box, like they're like a sort of like murderous drifter, because they just will not let you out of the woods. Like they are like like you might save one, but there'll be two or three more chances because their feet are so quick. They all know what they're doing, and Burnley are among the best in the league at standing up to that, and they did so on many occasions.
What I love about it, Jim, is the fact that Burnley have turned their season around. Second half of the season, they've been great. Mm. First half, they're very poor. The reason that they're safe now is because of their most recent form. But you just know, and none of us were there, obviously, when the team talk happened, but you know that Sean Dyche and his men would absolutely love to have a say in that title race.
Even if it's
kind of like a little sort of a side note, they were well up for it. And the first half, they made things very difficult. And had it not been for Chris Wood's wayward touch, there was a chance. Edison was brilliantly off his line, as he always is. But there was a chance they could have gone into the break a goal ahead. And then it would have been on, because obviously at this stage of the season, they've got to score two then, because they have to win.
Were you not a little bit disappointed in the last 20 minutes of that match? I thought Burnley could have showed a bit more. They weren't going to get anything out of them. Although, you know, Tom Heaton was brilliant, and he got out of jail a few times. But yeah, it was just, I thought they could have shown a bit more and left themselves exposed at the back.
Sure. Well, I find
go for
it.
Yeah, go for it. Have a say.
Have a say.
Be part of the narrative.
But I think that's perhaps the difference between Liverpool and Manchester City. In which both sides are trying to get every win. Liverpool beat Huddersfield 5-0 for crying out loud, so let's not use that one. But Manchester City, when they go...
That annoyed the shit out of me, that. Sorry to cut in.
5-0?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was a Friday night. I like the idea of Friday night football.
Mm.
It's interesting. And then you think, Huddersfield, you could have a say in this. They could make it difficult. 15 seconds.
No more.
15 seconds is all I'm saying. At least give me that. 15 seconds is a disgrace.
But come on, Liverpool's press was phenomenal there. And Huddersfield are already relegated and out of
inspired
their depth.
By Shane Long.
Yeah.
They're away at one of the best sides in the league. They're effectively a demoralised championship team at this point.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're highlighting that.
Do you know what? I just feel like with the setup that that game was, Huddersfield would have needed everything to go right for them.
Mm.
I get that. But I just think as a fan with no real skin in that game, you sit down to watch a game, and you know, as soon as that first goal's gone, after 15 seconds, the game's over. It's a shame. It's hard to not feel disappointed
also,
about that.
Really, and this will have annoyed you as well, Mark. Yes. Within that 15 seconds, not one Huddersfield player
got booked.
Yeah.
That's become our new kind of thing. If you're not booked, you're not trying.
Yeah. There's a really good... sorry, Mark. There's a very, very good article that I shared with you guys. I don't know if you had a chance to read it yet. And I'll share it with the listeners as well, written by Ken Early. I forget which publication he writes for. Possibly
the Irish Times,
yeah. About it was spawned by the debate that Roy Keane and Graham Souness and Gary Neville had, and we had a laugh about that obviously last week, and it was about the idea that you're now, it's outdated to think about you going up against your man individually as a defender. It's all about systems. It's all about how the system scores, and actually Huddersfield was another good example, because Huddersfield are so loyal to that kind of system where they play out from the back as well, that actually, if they had been a Premier League team of that size 15 years ago, they'd have taken the goal kick long and they never would have conceded that early goal. It's very well worth digging out by Ken Early, worth reading.
Some of the stats in it are really interesting as well about how much passing is, the actual rate of passing has almost doubled. It's incredible. But staying on the Burnley game, if we may.
Or going back to it.
Going back to it, rather. Is there an argument that Ashley Barnes is the biggest shithouse in the Premier League?
He's had an absolutely remarkable second half of the season.
He really has.
He's added goals to his shithousery, which then has kind of obscured the shithousery because he's saying, well, I'm also scoring goals.
Yeah, but the kissing thing from a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
When he was sort of like going sort of, you know, forehead to forehead with a player as they do, and he just gave him a couple little little pecks on the mouth.
Yeah,
it's a real power play, isn't it?
I'm trying to think of other players who you would have up against them. I don't know whether it is the lack of bodily fluids that I have or don't have, but I can't think of anybody who's a bit of a shithouse.
Yeah, in the Premier League. I feel like with Ashley Barnes, and I know I say this a lot, and it may say more about me than anything else, but he seems like he probably would have been a bit of a wrong'un at school. Somebody even sounds like one. Oh, Ashley Barnes is looking for you.
It is a bit old school, isn't it?
In Vardy's league or not?
I think more so. He looks harder than Vardy.
Yeah.
They'd be mates
and Vardy would be the one slinging insults. Ashley, do you hear what he said about your mum?
So Vardy's like the Richard Hammond.
Yeah, very much.
And
so.
Barnes is like the Clark.
No, Vardy's also hard.
I don't think it works with top gear. Vardy's not Hammond.
Vardy gets stuck in if he wanted to, a spooky little slight boy who like slides from in between some lockers.
Vardy's chatting up the girls.
Yeah.
And then Barnes is looking for the punches.
Yeah.
And then when he finds them, then Vardy will get involved.
I think Vardy would have been that Hammond Weasley type when he was younger, but there would then have been the double nightmare of him actually growing up to be quite hard.
You originally made the point that Barnes is a shithouse, and that's absolutely fair enough. But he has, in the second half of the season, his second half of the season has mirrored Burnley's, really. I think he's got 8 or 9 of his goals. He's got 11 Premier League goals this season, which is not bad.
Yeah.
8 or 9 of them have come in the second half of the season.
And when I say that, I mean it almost as a compliment, because he looks like an absolute nightmare to play against. Oh. He's always in your ear. He's every challenge is committed and full, and he's... As you say, he's an absolutely huge part of them doing so well.
But he didn't do Liverpool a favour. Maybe his shithousery mate Jamie Vardy will. Who knows? But Manchester City, though, going back to Pete's point about just seeing the game out, I think when they start to knock it around, they have that. Whereas I don't think any other side really in the league
Do you know what I think?
And I think it's such a professional job they do.
I agree.
But you've got to get the second really to be sure. But I just think that's why when Man City go, right, 5 minutes left or whatever, let's pass them. Let's just... take the sting out.
It's about
this.
Control of the game, isn't
and
it?
it's magnificent. You have to take your hat off.
Sergio Aguero as well. Like he's just got a great head for kind of for pressure. He always pops up at a really important
moment.
It's also remarkable to think that when Guardiola came in, there was a lot of talk, because one of the first things he brought Jesus in, and that he wouldn't be able to work hard enough. But he's flourished. He's absolutely flourished. He's going to be an all-time Premier League great.
He's now scored over 20 goals in 6 Premier League seasons.
Wow.
Up there with Alan.
Sure. Only your man's done more, isn't he?
Up there with War Allen. War Allen.
Yeah.
You say it.
War Allen.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Scoring goals.
Quite a lot, yeah.
Raheem Sterling has won the Young Player of the Season and the Writers Player of the Season. Of course, Virgil van Dijk has won the Player of the Season.
I've got no beef, but I don't know of a 24-year-old established international and senior pro at the best club in the world, arguably, should be
so
young.
So they need
player.
To change the rule, then.
I think so. Yeah, I think probably,
we've had this for a while, though.
Bit of a hangover. It needs to be probably 21, I think, now.
Mm. Yeah, or the same rules that the under-21s have. So James Milner can still win it.
He's still playing for him, isn't he? Yeah. But credit to Sterling, because he's done brilliantly well, both on and
off the
pitch.
He's had a phenomenal season.
He has.
And he's also been phenomenal off the pitch, and I don't know whether that's factored in, but he's been a real, in a horrible time, he's been a shining light and... Well done, him.
It's almost fitting that the back page writers have their say as opposed to the front page writers of the newspaper, which of course portray Raheem Sterling in a very different light.
An excellent point. My favourite goal of his this season, that first one away to Spain.
Yeah.
Because he's been brilliant for England.
He's starting to add goals to his game for England. If he continues to add goals for England the way he has done recently, he's got, say, another... Maybe he's got another 8 or 9 years in him as an international player. He could finish up with a lot of goals.
Sterling could be a Premier League great.
Yes.
He's 24 years old and he feels like he's been around forever.
Absolutely right. What he's achieved. He's been phenomenal and been said before, and I'll bloody well say it again, because credit where credit's due. The way Guardiola has helped hone that goal-scoring side of his game finishing the chances and whatnot, because he was used to getting the positions and he would score a few, but could be a little bit wasteful. He's phenomenal. He's up there with that second tier of the best in the world. It's obviously the best in the world are still those two, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's the award he's getting from the Football Ramble.
Hey, there you go, the best of the rest.
You're talking about Portsmouth, Jamal Lowe and Matthew Clark at that
those two. Mentioned for Portsmouth.
Yeah. Probably the final one of the day.
We'll see.
Yeah. next week, though, you never know. Yeah. But Man City have Leicester and Brighton left. Now, I said that Burnley was the one. Well, you know, I was only joking.
Yeah, you meant for Arsenal, didn't you?
You were checking the score every 5 minutes.
Did you see how good Leicester were against Arsenal?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest,
a bit of a hand from Arsenal, didn't they?
They did have an enormous hand.
You will.
Man City should beat Leicester and Brighton, shouldn't they, Man City fans?
when we were in Lisbon, you spoke to a fan, a Man City fan, who was like, oh, I thought that we were home and dry, but then you started mentioning the Burnley match and I got all a bit worried. I was a bit annoyed about that.
They won, didn't they? Against Spurs.
If the Leicester game was away from home, I think you'd have a shout, because Leicester looked good against Arsenal and, you know, we can't allow Jim to boil over by talking about them too much. But I think the fact that Man City are playing Leicester at home and Brighton look so far off the pace now, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's hard to make an argument to say that Man City aren't going to
It really feels like both Man City and Liverpool will win both of their remaining games.
See, I don't know, Jim.
Leicester, I
don't know if I agree with that, purely because Newcastle have been in such good form and Wolves love a big occasion.
Yeah, I just feel like Liverpool, you know, Liverpool haven't conceded a goal on the break this season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mad. Yeah. Absolutely
and
mad.
And I just feel like,
well, they haven't played Iosi Perez, have they?
That's true.
Good point.
Yeah. My player of the season.
There we are. The player of your heart.
Indeed, yeah.
Quite about Andros Townsend at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been telling me you've been ill.
I've not been watching the Premier League.
Maybe that's why he was on the toilet.
I heard so worried.
I heard rumours that Andros, I think I mentioned this on the show, that picked up an injury when he punched the dugout the other week. And that's why he's on the bench at the moment. And I'm come on, Roy. Come on, don't worry about the hand.
If anything, that gets him closer to the dugout to punch.
We don't want him closer to the dugout. No, we want him
hit it again.
That's so true. Marcus has been diagnosed with Townsenditis.
Yeah. Mm. Manchester United and Chelsea drew 1-1. They didn't lose Manchester United, but the point wasn't much help for them.
The
really.
Winner was there for Chelsea at the end, but they didn't take it.
True. I suppose, it depends how you spin it, doesn't it? But they remain 3 points behind Chelsea, I think, with 2 games left. But yeah, Manchester United, it looks like the season just petering out for them.
Well,
the
great thing is, unless you're a Man United fan, the last 2 games of the season, Huddersfield away and Cardiff at home, we get to see exactly how bad they are.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all fairly convinced they're quite bad.
Yeah.
We just need to know exactly how bad they are.
What's going to happen in the first 15 seconds against Huddersfield?
Who knows?
They'll get a booking.
First half.
Disappear.
First half, Lukaku was dropping very deep and provide some pretty decent passing. He just did not replicate.
Gary Neville was fuming, wasn't he? How unfit Lukaku
was. Was he dropping deep to try and find a move?
Tired.
Yeah.
Digging around him.
For an energy drink.
That was an interesting challenge from Marcus Rojo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was outrageous.
Strong, wasn't it?
Naughty. Yeah.
Naughty.
And another error from De Gea, who you got to make the argument, because obviously Sergio Romero is decent, possibly with the exception of, I know Pope's not fit, but Pope and Heaton's a good pair of goalkeepers at one club.
And Joe Hart, it's a great trio.
I'm not including him in that. Right. Romero and... haven't Burnley announced they're not going to renew his contract?
Probably.
Yeah. Mm. Romero and De Gea. I mean, Romero's a fantastic backup goalkeeper. Yeah. He's got loads of international caps.
Yeah.
So you wonder whether, given the contract situation with De Gea, whether it's worth bringing Romero in for the last 2 games of the season, giving him a bit of time.
He's not that great, Romero.
I think he's
error-prone as well, but I mean, De Gea at the moment, I mean, they're even talking about this in the commentary during the game. Like, it's clearly a tactic from opposition teams now to shoot at him from distance and see if you get any joy. I mean, otherwise, is Antonio Rudiger bombing forward and having a shot from distance?
No. Is it normal?
That's got to be on instruction. Right?
So you wouldn't drop him for the last couple of games?
I think it depends on the player.
Let him get to the end of the season.
I was going
to
say, like, Huddersfield, surely, come on, you know. It depends on the player. I think that De Gea has been such a great performer for that club over the years. I mean, he's even had a few good performances this season. It's been unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think, as Pete, as you said the other day, the end of the season needs to come very quickly for that man. And it's a great shame because he's a phenomenal keeper and he's been a phenomenal player for most.
The problem is he's going to play himself out of a move if he's not careful. Yeah, yeah, they're going to start changing their mind.
He probably doesn't want to play. Oh, yeah. My legs, my big long legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, Chelsea, do you think they're going to finish in the top four? I mean, Arsenal can't win, neither can Manchester United. Think, yeah. That's usually not helpful.
I think it's a funny season, isn't it? Because it's been... It's been so good at the top with the top two, but I think if you go slightly further down, that obviously Spurs have had a good season, but they've still lost 12 games.
Yeah,
and Chelsea and Arsenal have been all over the place as well. Man United, of course, have their own struggles. It's like the bottom third of the top six have been so odd and inconsistent.
I know what you mean, but I mean Chelsea. I know obviously they take no consolation in being in a final, the losers in a final, but League Cup final probably should get to the Europa League final.
Yeah. I'd say so.
They finished top four. I mean, it's not a bad season, potentially. Potentially, though. But again, the same could be said for Arsenal. I mean, if
Jim,
Arsenal...
isn't it going to need Arsenal to win at Burnley in the last day of the season?
I think it will need Arsenal to
plan,
win both games. Yeah, yeah. Burnley away is a nightmare.
And that's the final day, isn't it?
And the Europa League to get into the Champions League.
Absolutely, yeah. But which is very away, like so far away.
Yeah. If it's like genuinely is the law of diminishing returns
square.
For Arsenal, yeah, then you can understand. Did they get a narrow win at Watford?
Yes.
Very close by.
10-man
Leicester. Yeah. I mean, it's only about 80 miles north of London. Yeah, yeah. That was a 3-0. Yeah. They're going to lose about 40-0 in Baku.
Yeah, I expect, I expect that Arsenal will probably drop points in both of those games based on what we've seen recently. I really do. I know if they do end up... I mean, they've got to get past Valencia, but we need to get revenge on Valencia for selling us Mustafi. Mm. So I would hope that would motivate us to get
Was it Derek
that.
Trotter that was the head of football there for
I believe
at
it
that
was.
Time? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You bought Mustafi. Where'd you get him from? At a covered market.
Yeah, we found him in a skip.
Yeah.
It's a gradually unfolding nightmare. Mm.
But mind you, though, West Ham beating Spurs.
Yeah.
That provided a bit of joy, football for the weekend for you.
Good goal.
Great win. Oh, Antonio.
He had a chance to repeat it as well, didn't he? But he fluffed it a little.
Very likeable football player.
Absolutely.
Marko Arnautovic with a lovely assist.
It is approaching the end of the season.
That's surely the end credits of Marko Arnautovic's Premier League movie.
No, absolutely. That's like the post-credit scene
in
a Marvel
scene.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
It has to be. Has
yeah,
to
West
be.
Ham were the first team to win at the Emirates as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
They got a little.
They will love that.
Oh my goodness! Won't they just...
If every team got a new stadium in the same season, West Ham win the league.
What if West Ham also got the new stadium?
Yeah, problematic.
Yeah,
they had the best away record in the league. Yeah.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, we're going to talk about Brighton and a South Coast derby.
Thank you.
There we are. Sorry about that. I told you I was ill.
Wow.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He's just a disgrace. Yeah, I'd call him a sewer rat, but I don't think he's as good as that. I think that's insulting sewer rats.
Yeah.
Specifically, yeah. I've been called rats that live in the sewer.
Isn't that most any city rat, really?
Yeah. Possibly. Where does he expect rats to live?
Who was he referring to there?
Is it El Hajjouf, was it?
It's El Hajjouf, I think.
Which he later signed later on for the league.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Has he signed any sewer rats? That might explain it.
Splinter.
I love the meeting. So when you said that, what did you mean?
It's actually the term of endearment.
Saviour rat is what I meant. Yeah. Brighton and Newcastle drew 1-1.
We're not doing emails.
Sorry.
Not the beast!
You've got mail.
I did ask for your forgiveness at the start of the show.
Just Pete you looked,
told us you were real.
Pete started to look so crestfallen.
Marcus has pooed out all of his professionalism.
I didn't take that long.
After his dodgy Lisbon seafood. Yeah. To follow up on last Thursday's episode, says Paul, up the Clarets. I'd just like to point out that Lucas Wright, Burnley would be right up there in terms of form since the halfway point of the season, since Clarets 5 on Boxing Day at Gubbing at home to Everton. Burnley have amassed 28 points from 16 games. If the league table is taken from Boxing Day onwards, Burnley would be placed 5. But they're not, Paul. They're just not. Hello to John.
I'm not. Because John, the first season, half of the season, also very much does count.
Is it? What's the Apertura and Clausura of Argentina?
What is it like, the popular Premier League? It's not the system that counts, sadly.
Well, nowadays, stats just seem to just pop up for every bloody reason, I think. Johnny Connolly. Hello, Johnny Connolly in Glasgow. I'll forego any attempts at a witty intro. There's nothing worse than an unfunny C. He's Scottish. last week, you lads were discussing which players bagged the most goals per 1 million of transfer fee. I point thee towards Celtic's Henrik Larsson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
242 times, cost £650,000, pound for pound, 372.3 goals per million pound of transfer pro rata. Wow. He never cut in the Premier League, though, except he did. And La Liga, and the Champions League, and the UEFA Cup, and the Euros, and the World Cup. All hail King Henrik.
He came to the Premier League late, right?
Yeah, and it was a loan. But it was nice to see him.
It was great.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It was
a little tickle. Darren in Glasgow says, Jamie Redknapp obviously didn't follow his dad's career very much, because at halftime during the Spurs-West Ham game, the presenter called it the Harry Redknapp derby, to which Jamie replied, why?
Oh, wow.
Enjoyable.
My goodness.
And finally for now, John Adedoyin. Dear Football Ramble, I'd just like to take the opportunity to update you on all things Kevin Keegan. I had the pleasure of meeting him at the Royal Automobile Club at dinner at last Thursday night, where he's the guest speaker. See picture below, both men looking resplendent. Before the dinner, our guests typically queue up to have their photo taken. When it came to my turn, I gave him the quickly Kevin, will he score? He was mortified. John actually pointed out that the second book that he'd ever read was his first autobiography. But Kevin King actually couldn't remember the name of his own autobiography, which I quite liked.
Oh, no!
No. He says he's never met such a lovely, humble and emotional bloke. I like the emotional bloke at the end of that one. He's a little fella, but he fills the room with such warmth, passion and energy about the game. Bill Shankly and his humble beginnings in football at Scunthorpe. Thank you very much, John, for that email, because there's never a bad time to remind each other how lovely Kevin Keegan
is.
Yes,
of course. I saw a great photo of Keegan the other day when he was Newcastle manager. Mm. And there's a lot of players standing in the background, like your Peacocks, your Lees, your Coles. And Keegan's obviously showing them some sort of drill, and he's running really fast, like with this base, and the others are just standing around like, looking somewhere else. It looks like they've forgotten that he's doing it. And if it wasn't Kevin Keegan, it wouldn't be funny, but it just is really funny.
Everyone's watching Killer Kill Klein.
Yeah,
smash a snake up.
He just legged it. Keegan just legged it off. Yeah.
I'd watch like a Bear Grylls Killer Kill Klein show.
Oh,
he
imagine
just goes
that
out into the undergrowth and, you know, survives.
But I don't even know if it needs to be undergrowth, just like the local town centre. Putting those survival techniques into practice anyway.
We got a Ramble Meets coming up with Danny Kelly, and he told me that story about Paul Gascoigne being photographed with Chris Evans and the rest of it. I didn't know if you guys knew this. I don't know what I just thought of this, probably because you're talking about Scottish football. Apparently that day, Paul Gascoigne also stole a London bus. Yes. And was driving it around central London.
I remember that.
I don't know if he didn't steal it. He stole the Middlesbrough team bus.
Yeah, he did.
And crashed it.
He just got form.
But I think the driver was there and let him have a go.
Didn't he like ding it as well?
No, that was a Middlesbrough team. Well, he might have done with the London. I don't think
the
he
Middlesbrough
did
team bus. He definitely did. Yeah, yeah. Because he got his SUV license with the London bus.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then went practical.
Yeah, and then went on to crash the Middlesbrough.
There we go.
There we go. Show at thefootballramble.com, right, Pete, for emails.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, do what you want.
There we are.
And do pick up some bloody live show tickets, gosh darn it.
RambleLive.com.
RambleLive.com. Come and see us live.
They're all out there for you. And when they're gone, they're gone.
Mm. And my bowels will have recovered by then.
We can't promise that.
We can only hope.
Laxative in the water.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Brighton and Newcastle, because Brighton, it was a big point in one sense, but also they missed the chance to all but secure their Premier League safety.
So I think they'll be all right, Marcus.
Glenn Murray had a chance late on.
He did. Yeah. It's one of those ones, though, because it was very close to the goal line, but it is, you know, headers are I'm not going to say they're a lottery, but they're a, like, but you know how, like, that ball came down pretty much on the top of his head, and if that happens, you've got no chance of controlling it. So if it had fallen a little bit further in front of him and he could have got his forehead on it, that would have been, you know, obviously that's a sitter and he's got a score, but it would have been very difficult for him to actually score that from that position, I think.
Sure. I think Brighton relieved to get a point because they're four in front of Cardiff.
And they've been absolutely dreadful.
They were so bad
in the first half.
Relieved to score a bloody goal.
I didn't see the game, but they look so bereft of confidence. It's kind of interesting because Houghton has brought in some, you know, reasonably like exciting attacking players, and yet they just all seem to be scared to do anything. And, you know, I mean, Newcastle have been in good form, but Brighton are the home side. And it's a destination. I mean, I say that over and over again. The Amex is a destination. Brighton could turn that into a fortress. And they have less possession than Newcastle at home in a game where they're fighting for their lives and Newcastle have got nothing to play for. To me, it just feels like they've not got the confidence.
Yeah, I watched the game and they were very, very timid in the first half. They were actually on their longest run without a goal in their history. Going into this game.
Was it actually on TV?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That was on telly?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
It was a 5:30 game on Saturday.
Yeah, five.
And Brighton were booed at half time because they displayed such a lack of adventure, and they weren't even making the runs. They just seemed so, like, nervous and seemed to play within themselves.
Well, and then Newcastle got, but Bernardo just went completely missing. That's why, like, no one was marking Perez and he just lashed it. Right. Yeah.
Great. Easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Knocked down from Rondon.
Yeah.
And then
great.
Perez.
But fair play to Brighton. They turned it around the second half and they were a lot better. But Perez, I think, had injured himself before he even scored and kept going. Real worried. Do you think that will add some value to his price tag? That he's demonstrated that he can still score when injured.
It's worth at least half a million.
Football's mad. Like, the Premier League is mad because we started this season, maybe 2 or 3 months in, saying, oh, Pete's going on. And I'm not saying having a go at you. Well, I am a little
please,
bit.
Please, no, but, please do.
But you're a wanker. No, is that...
I empirically am.
Pete say...
I'm doing it right now.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
Pete
doesn't even need his hands anymore.
What I'm doing is kind of a broadcasting masturbation, as I do every week.
Bringing back previous victories.
The situation was that the general consensus was that if you want to have a good Premier League campaign, you need to farm out £2 million strikers and start being serious in the transfer market and getting players in and doing decent business. Now, if this carries on, they'd be lucky to keep hold of him. They're about moving him on. You can move him on, all right, for about 40 million based on what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, it'd be massively Newcastle now. He's scored a few goals. And then at the end of the season, they sell him for like 6 million.
Yeah. It shouldn't be forgotten, though. That
and then he gets a national call-up.
It shouldn't be forgotten that a lot of his game has been improved by the fact that Miguel Almiron, who wasn't playing this match, his speed just scares the crap out of people, and it's kind of freed him up a little bit, and he's always able to arrive.
But he's linked up with Rondon very well this season.
Oh yeah, I would have, at this moment in time, if they can maintain that kind of form, that is a really decent pairing
combo,
and that's not something I ever.
Anything,
well, I have, because he just didn't have anyone to play with.
It's true. I mean, I read a piece saying exactly this is sort of,
and also Rafa's a fucking good manager.
He is. So, yeah. I agree.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who we won't have next season.
But the reason
he's taking Paris with him,
indeed, it is. The reason why I go back to Brighton, though, that they're probably going to be okay is because Cardiff buggered up against Fulham.
Oh yeah,
what on earth was that about?
Me and Marcus in the back of the car and gone the game in smooching, got the game in Lisbon, and Marcus was about as angry as I've ever seen. He was like,
as angry as he was when Arsenal didn't beat Atletico in the Europa League.
Oh, I don't know.
You actually said before we came on air that you're still angry about that. Oh, the Leicester game would have annoyed you so
much.
What's
that about?
I think people who listen to this show underestimate Marcus's anger.
Yeah. At that game.
Does it come across for you?
Honestly, Leicester would have made you insane.
No, I expect that.
Honestly, Alex Iwobi reminded me of how Willian would play if Willian was blind.
You're missing the point.
And it just... Sorry.
If missing the point of the context, Arsenal should have beaten Atletico Madrid and they would have beaten Marseille in the final, and it would have been absolutely brilliant for Wenger to hand a European trophy over and a Champions League spot the next season. That should have happened, and those pissing players buggered it up for him.
Marcus, what about me makes you think I hadn't thought of all that?
Yeah. I mean, I know Cardiff played, sorry to drag this back to the actual running order.
Three wins and three clean sheets since they've been relegated. Yeah, I know, what's the pissing point of that?
I know Cardiff play in a certain way, and I get it, and it's completely outrageous to suggest that they would change their entire system or whatever, but they are playing against Fulham in a game they have to win, and they have 27% possession. Mm. I mean, you could probably maybe just jam that up to 35% possession and give yourself more of a chance. I know they had a lot more shots and stuff, but
I just reckon one of those wins or clean sheets would have come in handy for Fulham before they got relegated.
How disgraceful are Fulham on that basis? Yeah?
Well,
you're angry with those players because of the way they've conducted themselves?
I'm just angry.
It's apparently after a nuclear explosion, there's something called hypergrowth. where plants start to grow bigger and stronger
Scott
than
Parker
they ever
comes
have before,
in and lays a load of seeds.
The worst thing is, when we look back on this season in five or six years' time,
will we?
We'll think, Fulham are unlucky to go down. They went down by 2 points. They went down in fucking March. Yeah. They went down.
Is it because they're sort of so accommodating that now they're relegated? They're just like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen this before,
we've dished enough points out.
We've seen this before from sides who get relegated and then they can relax and whatnot.
Not Huddersfield, by the way.
Alex Ferguson's last game, which was a 5-all draw with West Brom, were they already relegated?
What, Man United?
Yeah.
No, West Brom.
Can't remember.
I don't think they were. What a goal from Ryan Barbour,
though.
It was
beautiful. Yeah. He's had a brilliant...
He's done well.
He's had himself a move somewhere good.
He needs to go somewhere else, you would say. But Cardiff, they need two wins against Palace. Winnable game. So was that Fulham one, though. Mm. And then Manchester United, another winnable game.
Yeah.
But Brighton have Arsenal, winnable. and drawable. And then Manchester City. It is still, I mean, if you're a Cardiff fan, you'd be beside yourself that they didn't get even a point against flipping Fulham. But Brighton... playing Arsenal away, and then I think it's Arsenal away, and then Man City. Surely Brighton aren't going to get any points there. And Cardiff, Palace, Cardiff need to go into that Manchester United game needing a win, because the way Man United are playing at the moment, they can be got at.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
Shoot on sight policy. Absolutely. So that Cardiff versus Crystal Palace game will be an intriguing one. Will Andros Townsend break their hearts or another dugout? We shall find out.
Imagine that. Like, if Cardiff go in with a shoot on site policy and end up winning about 4-0 with about 15% possession.
Yeah. To Everton.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's still a little bit of something. Obviously, Manchester City will want Brighton to be safe by the last day because, you know, if they beat Leicester, then they don't want to be going into that one, do they? Against the solid stern Brighton.
Marcus, you're trying to... I've never seen someone so labored to try and stir up imaginative narratives that don't ever actually exist.
West Brom's Champions League push.
I forgot about that. The very idea that Manchester City are going to go down to Brighton on the final day, a lovely May afternoon, like full of trepidation. As Jim's already said, Brighton have gone the longest without scoring a single goal in their entire history as a club. I don't think it's a recipe for disaster, is it?
You wouldn't have thought so. No. But what about Southampton? They're safe. Yay!
That was. That was brilliant.
Three each.
Mm. Lovely curled finish from James Ward-Prowse, who, and this is niche, looks like a young version of the wrestler Edge.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that, yeah.
I couldn't help you with that. I can't help you with that.
It was a good game, though. Southampton. Hasenhüttl's kept them up. Job done.
He's done a great job.
Job done.
As they were looking at being one of those sort of very much chaffy, doldrumsy Premier League clubs, just going through the Mark Hughes sort of cycle. Mm. And then they got back on track with getting an interesting forward-thinking manager in, and they just look... They look like they've undone the last season or so.
There's a bit of intensity at times.
It's got so much. They looked, I mean, as far back as under Pellegrini, they looked like they didn't
Pellegrino.
Pellegrino, of course. Mm. They looked like they didn't know who they were and what the point of anything was. They
that
just
was
looked
just Pellegrino.
Ideas. Yeah, quite.
They literally reflected him.
Yeah. But it made you think, oh, this is a squad with very little quality in it. But clearly that wasn't the case.
If I was a Southampton player, I'd be like, I'm not looking forward to pre-season. He's going to ride us and ride us hard, isn't he?
As I said last week, it's exciting for Southampton fans to see what's possible with this squad and this exciting manager. He's shown that his techniques and his management is you know, works across different countries. And I'll be honest, I'd have loved him to have gone down. It'd been brilliant, but it's not going to happen.
I don't know how you always say that.
I would have.
Everyone knows.
But Southampton fans would expect me to say nothing different.
No, I think they're just a bit
Are you saying that you're playing to the gallery?
A little bit, yeah.
That's what they want from you, is
Are they up in the gallery?
Get tickets at ramblelive.com.
Yeah, get yourselves in the gallery.
But they've got a chance to push on. I'm not suggesting they can, you know, they can break into the top four or anything, but there's no reason they can't be good next season and have an exciting season. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. They finished under Koeman fairly high up the table, didn't they? So if that could be repeated, then I'm sure they'll be delighted. But he's shown that with a bit of an imagination and a bit of thinking outside the box and getting off that stupid managerial merry-go-round where those idiot coaches are all over the hill, something can be achieved.
What about Callie Wilson, eh? Another couple of goals
yes.
for him.
Mm-hmm.
Great season he's had.
He's a good player.
Might feature in the UEFA Nations League if Kane doesn't come back.
Yeah. Well, he'd certainly be in the squad, wouldn't he?
He'll be in the squad, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Depends, though. Maybe Vardy out of retirement. Who knows? Maybe Rashford will fancy it straight down the middle. Right. After the break, we're going to talk about the Championship and that Leeds United stuff.
What on earth was that?
That is Sean Bean doing an impression of ex-Sheffield United and Pompey player Michael Doyle.
Right.
Wow.
Weird.
Just thought I'd bring that in the Game of Thrones kind of
I appreciate
style.
That. Appreciate that. Sheffield United are going to get a mention in just a sec because the preview show will be happening on Thursday. We need a new best better.
We do, yes. Andros Townsend did not oblige.
Teehee.
We'll blame Marcus for that. So you need a new one. Yeah, best better in the email subject would be very helpful for me because I do enough admin as it is because I work with Pete Donaldson.
You're not wearing any fucking shoes, mate.
It's true.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Have some respect for yourself and me.
Let's go to the Championship. Leeds 1, Aston Villa 1.
This is what we wanted from
scenes.
Leeds plus Bielsa. Yeah.
Flipping scenes.
Unbelievable.
People saying the most ridiculous sort of 6 minutes in the history of football.
It's a great way to drop down into the playoff spots.
What
on
earth? It's happening.
Astonishing.
He's happy to spar on people. He's happy to do this, that.
Do you think that played into it, though?
Suddenly
that he's thinking, I need to undo this bad PR.
Should we explain what happened
for people who haven't seen it? Yeah. So basically, an Aston Villa player goes down. I think it was Jonathan Codger went down.
Leeds are 1-0 up at the time.
Yeah, and No. Aston Villa player went down.
Sorry.
It was 0-0. Let's tell them what did happen.
Sorry.
Yeah. And it looks at one point. So the Aston Villa players are screaming out for the ball to be put out of play. It looks at one point that Leeds are going to do that, but they don't. And Aston Villa don't react. Leeds go down the other end. And it's not like everyone stops. I mean, the goalkeeper tries to save it and a couple of the players try to defend it, but they score anyway. And there's a melee because Aston Villa think it's a joke.
But that's a joke. That's a legitimate goal.
Exactly.
So I'll doubt the referee.
I'm going to inject my opinion at the end very quickly.
Your what?
My opinion.
Okay.
Anyway, so there's a massive melee. Shit goes down. Someone pretends to throw a punch at Patrick Bamford. No one throws a punch at him. He goes down anyway. Player gets sent off. And then Leeds, under Marcelo Bielsa, agree to let Aston Villa score an equaliser, which literally stops them being promoted. And the game finishes 1-0.
Well, Janssen didn't want to let it happen, did he? The one Leeds defender that was like, this is insane, tried to step in and stop it.
Can I just say, my opinion being injected very quickly, and I'll put it to the floor, the referee is the only player. The referee's the only man who can stop the game. Mm. The referee decides it's a dangerous injury. He will stop the game. Yep. Mm. Until then, get on with it. Yeah. Play. It's a perfectly legitimate goal. Aston Villa should have done a lot better.
You don't need to put the ball out. It's a gentlemanly thing to do and all the rest of it, but you don't have to
do it. I think the thing is, though, that they feigned doing that, didn't they, as a team?
I think they just got a bit confused. They got a bit confused. And there's no excuse. If you watch it back again, the Aston Villa goalkeeper does a full-length dive to try and stop it. It's a great goal. It's a good finish. There's no way it shouldn't be a legitimate goal. You've got to play to the whistle. It's the first thing you learn when you're 5 years old. Mm. There's no excuse for it.
Leeds have now missed out on automatic promotion.
I mean, they probably wouldn't have got it anyway, but...
Yeah, but it's... But like we were saying... How long ago we were saying this? September?
Yeah.
You know, it would just... It seemed so obvious, but then as the season went, you think, I think they're going to do it. And then, of course, as it turns out, they're going to lose in the playoff final.
So do you want some stats? Do you want some stats around the top three in the championship to back up this thing that we were talking about at the start of the season with Bielsa?
Far away.
So on New Year's Day, the table was Leeds were top with 51 points, Norwich were second with 49, and Sheffield United were third with 47. Now, going into this round of games that we've just seen, Norwich were top on 88, Sheffield United 85, Leeds 82. In 2019, since New Year's Day, Sheffield United have dropped 16 points. This is going into this weekend. Mm-hmm. Dropped 16. Norwich have dropped 17. And Leeds have dropped 26. They've dropped 9 more than Norwich and 10 more than Sheffield United. Mm. That lays bare exactly the pitfalls of the way that Bielsa likes to play his teams. Yeah. Mm.
They've stayed towards the top longer than I thought they would do.
Do you think it's interesting that the top three on New Year's Day are the same top three on the end of the
season? I do, actually, especially for the Championship, because that league is mad. The games come so thick and fast.
Yeah, there's very, generally speaking, there's a late surge from someone, isn't it? I guess you'd argue it's been Villa, but normally it's someone who sort of busts into that automatic promotion.
Well, Villa in terms of points alone, but Sheffield United have to be.
Oh, of course.
They've promoted.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Bloody Nora, an achievement.
Can I just say, before we move on to that, my highlight from the Leeds and Villa melee was some footage from the dugout where the argument's happening just after it. And you can see John Terry talking to a member of the Leeds staff, and you can see very clearly he's going, shush, fucking shush.
He was at the forefront of getting it all going on. He was right amongst it.
Altezza.
I think I love Bielsa, and I would dearly love to see him manage in the Premier League. Obviously, what's going to happen now is they're not going to go up in the playoffs and he's going to leave. And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
I love the fact that Chris Wilder has done such a good job with Sheffield United, and I'm pleased for
Norwich. We'd like them all to go up.
We would. Yes. We would. But I would, Leeds United fans might feel passionately about this. I'm sure they do. I would possibly not even stop short of saying what Bielsa has done there is dereliction of duty. Mm. If Aston Villa want to stop playing football, even though the referee's not blowing the whistle, and Leeds United score, that ain't Leeds United's problem.
Mm. What's the head injury?
Exactly. It's Aston Villa's problem.
To
do that in November is one thing. To do it on a key game which decides whether you get promoted or not, it's dereliction of duty.
That is why I wonder if the spying thing has played into that there, because obviously he seemed very shocked that this was frowned upon here, and clearly it was a cultural difference. And I wonder if that's played into his head there, and he's made a quick decision thinking, oh, well, I don't want to do the same thing again.
Maybe he's just trying to get out the hoodoo of the poor run they've been on. Things where we need to buy ourselves some luck here.
Thing it does show that the players actually respect him, because they did it. Mm.
Mm. 10 of them did.
That's all it takes.
It was a really good finish, wasn't it?
But he is a bit mad, though. Maybe he thought, "All right, fine. We'll give you a goal, and then we'll score another one ourselves." It could simply be that.
Mm. Yeah, backfired. It has backfired.
Would you like to hear Bielsa trying to say the word Ipswich?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Estar disponible para el partido de Ipswich. Okay, I give up.
That's why I love him.
He's great.
That's why I love him. Bitch.
He's bitch.
His bitch have been terrible, haven't they? Yeah. He could still, though. They're in the playoffs.
I don't think they've got anything like the momentum they need.
No.
Sadly, I agree with you. But if he can bring that out the bag,
they might be the first team to be relegated through the playoffs.
if he can turn it around, if Leeds can win the playoffs, my goodness! Mm.
Well, we all in a weird way, we all want Villa and Leeds in the final, right?
Oh, that'd be brilliant!
Had Lampard's derby,
yeah. But given the context of this game,
Pulis's middle.
I think the Premier League would be a far richer place with Bielsa in it. Yes.
It would be. It would be. But yeah,
and it's pretty rich as it is.
But then I'd be happy to see Villa. I think Villa will win it, and I think they'll beat Leeds in the final, and it'll be a gutting one—a John Terry header.
Well, you say that, but I mean, if it stays as it is, Leeds will have to play Derby in the first in the semi final. They might get through that.
Yeah,
I mean, Derby have been playing pretty decent the last four games undefeated. So.
Indeed, yeah, indeed.
But well done, Sheffield United.
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely.
And Norwich.
Right. Yeah. They've been nuts. But what the job Chris Wilder's done at Sheffield United is incredible. He's a really, really good manager, and I think it goes underplayed. Not on this show, because we always talk about it. it'll be exciting actually to see how they go about things in the top flight. I mean, he's earned his right. Chris Wilder started out at Northampton Town. You know, he's worked his way all the way up, and he's literally earned his right to manage in the Premier League. I think it's amazing.
And did you see Richard Stearman about as drunk as I've seen a footballer recently?
Was he?
He'd had a skinful, but that skin was Kevin Pressman's skin.
Kevin Pressman.
It was big.
Was it?
He'd had a lot. He'd had a lot. He was having a lovely
time. He's earned it, hasn't he?
Well, he tweeted this morning saying, "I enjoyed last night." I was thinking, didn't you get promoted? Yeah. When did you get promoted?
Yeah. Oh, the Championship.
Yeah.
Best league in the world.
Best league in the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Glad you could make it, ladies and gentlemen. Peter, you've got some things on your mind, haven't
you? Because Marcus wasn't very well. He said, can you just find some stuff from the WhatsApp group?
Oh, but because
we were
all for me.
Because we were all together.
Doing my own jobs.
Because we were all together.
Turn up, Jim.
Because we were all together, we didn't actually mention anything on the WhatsApp group because we were all together over the week.
No, we did. We did a picture of you and me kissing.
That's true. Yeah, we did do that. Lawrence Karius has had a penalty save overruled by VAR. Does that man that man's great
wow.
ever end?
Oh no!
Beautiful other things happening around the world.
So what had he moved off his line?
Yeah, he moved off his line. Okay. Which, to be fair, I've said before, I think it should be cracked down on, and it's good.
Whatever the opposite of a cheerleader is for that, aren't you? I'm with you actually, because goalkeepers cheat quite often.
The mick.
Did Bielsa come on and say, "Let him save it again"?
Let's save it again. Really Rennes, of course, won the French Cup. Hatem Ben Arfa, one of my faves.
Yes, Ben Arfa mugging off his old side, PSG.
Well, he went to shake the hands of the PSG owner Nasser Al Khelaifa. Khelaifa, and he had none of it because obviously Ben Arfa is trying to sue PSG for £7 million. So he goes in to shake his hand. He's like, "I'm having none of this."
9-8 on penalties.
Yeah.
Mbappe
yeah.
sent off at the end.
That was a terrible. Terrible tackle.
PSG were 2-0 up. What a win for Rennes.
Didn't Neymar throw a punch at a fan as well?
Yeah.
it was all kicking off.
I think we might talk about that on the continent.
Yeah, we will.
But Hatem Ben Arfa, come on, Peter. Lovely, you love seeing him getting a bit of silverware.
Lovely old
job. It's Rennes' first trophy for a very long time. 70s, yeah. maybe? Maybe even longer than that.
Play up, Ren. There was a great piece on I spotted from Joshua Law, journalist. He visited Andre Santos's restaurant in Sao Paulo.
Oh, nice.
He's got a restaurant. Obviously quite an underwhelming footballer. At the
he
best
looked
times.
Like he had a restaurant after.
He was running it while he was on the pitch.
He was a walking restaurant.
He did a lot of running.
Yeah. Some of the quotes from this piece, check it out if you can. Joshua Law's the writer. on the menu it says, "We serve wraps, gourmet hamburgers, unusual sushis with special sauces."
Unusual sushis.
Yeah.
Well, the first round of food, some of the pictures are obscene. I've got one here. 5 lumps of raw salmon. A poached quail's egg glued on top of each other.
Glued?
Well, with wasabi mayo.
With questionable sauce or whatever it is.
But that sauce, see that black sort of thing it's swimming in? That's just soy sauce, apparently.
Is that right?
Pete, you're a sushi connoisseur. What do you think about that? Looks good? Looks bad?
Not quite fusion, I'd say.
Okay, not quite fusion.
The next round, though, Dorito burrito.
Dorito burrito?
So basically, it's another rice roll, stuffed with crispy salmon, raw salmon, cream cheese, sweet chili sauce, red onion, spring onion, and Doritos.
That's just like whatever's left in the cupboard, right?
The thing is, it's not even that, Jim. They've thought of the title and they've worked back from there.
Yeah, that's right.
The great thing about it is it rhymes, so let's make a dish out of it.
Yeah, and let's make sure the ingredients don't actually refer to the title at all.
No, yeah.
So if any listeners are in Sao Paulo, get down there, have a Dorito burrito.
Yeah. It sounds absolutely terrible. and not the sort of thing I should be eating at the moment.
No.
Big Sam being linked with the India job.
Yeah, or that'll be mostly done over Skype, won't it? If that happens,
yeah, he's closer to Dubai. He loves being in Dubai, according to Patrick Van Aanholt.
I'm not a fan of immigration, Big Sam, but he's off to India. Good on him.
It's a fair point.
I'm sure he likes a curry, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, he's not got the job though, has he?
I don't know.
He's linked to the job.
I'll be totally honest. This is literally the first I've heard of it.
Any updates on Sven in Scotland?
Surely you're the correspondent.
Sven will be in the frame for the India job as well, won't he? Surely.
Yeah, that's more.
I feel like he's already done.
Yeah, I was thinking. Wait a minute, was he?
Well, it's moved on beyond. So okay, here's the news cycle.
Right,
we've obviously been overseas, but here's the news cycle. So four days ago, according to Google News, former England boss Sven Göran Eriksson wants Scotland job. That's what we talked about.
That's
right.
Yeah,
it's moved on beyond then because it's gone next up. It was Sven Göran Eriksson denies making contact over the Scotland job. And then the next story after that is five things Sven needs to be ready for if he gets the Scotland job. That's how it starts. He knows what he's doing.
Firstly, a phone call from the SFA.
Yeah.
First, that's the crucial one.
The first thing he needs to get sorted out is to presumably go through some sort of interview process, mm-hmm. be awarded the job,
yes.
and then start work.
Uh-huh.
They're quite big barriers, aren't they?
The yes. contract talk is a big barrier.
Yeah, definitely.
SFA don't have a lot of money.
Sven, bring your PowerPoint. Oh, yes, I will bring PowerPoint.
By which I mean piano.
He won't.
Yeah. Tickling those bagpipes. And,
yeah. He might think PowerPoint is a euphemism.
Yeah. For his assistant.
He's heard that no one in Scotland wears pants under their kilt, and he's straight up.
Yeah. I said last time he thinks they're all women.
Oh, right. Okay.
Kilts.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've made it. Mm. Thank you very much for journeying with us on this football ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke
Say
Moore.
Goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you to Lisbon for their
generous
lovely
hospitality.
Times.
Yeah.
Not their seafood, though.
Yeah.
Actually, it was very good. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Yeah, thank you to my sofa for keeping me warm.
You going to say goodbye?
Adios.
This was a Radio Staccano production.
Liga Norsh.
Sorry?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.